90210ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hey, you guys, here we are on the 9021 OMG podcast with my best friend and my new bestie. It is Jenny Garth and Sisney. I'm Tori Spelling. And hi.
Hi, beautifuls. Oh. How are you?
Hi, ladies.
How is everybody? That's my question.
Good. I love on our Zoom. I don't know if your Zoom is like this, but mine right now, it's, sis, you're just like, you're bookended by two blondes.
It's a Sisney sandwich.
I love it. You know, I have highlights in my hair, but you can't see them. I want to be blonde.
I like that. I feel like you could go even more. We'll talk about it for summer.
I have been almost your guys' color. I did it once and it was crazy, but it was just so much of an upkeep.
But how did you feel? Do you feel blondes have more fun?
I think that blondes do have more fun. I know.
I think blondes do have more fun for sure, but I think brunettes get taken more seriously.
That's interesting.
I believe she's right.
Yeah.
I think you stand out if you're blonde. You know, it's like brunettes can kind of just like, I can hide in the crowd of people and like, you know, not really go notice. But if you have blonde hair, you kind of stand out.
Interesting. Maybe so. Yeah. But I colored my hair totally dark once.
I wasn't a fan.
You weren't a fan, but I was a fan because I could go anywhere and not be recognized. And people actually listened to what I was saying instead of looking at me. It was
crazy.
Really, really weird, like, test.
Well, you could just put a bag over your head and then you could talk to people. You don't have to change your hair. Hey,
that wouldn't draw any attention.
You guys, we have some really exciting news.
Oh, we do.
Drum roll, please.
Two exciting things. Yes. Okay. First things first. Go.
Okay. So you guys asked. First of all, this is for you guys. Seriously, you asked about it. So we are delivering it to you. We are having our very first live virtual event for our podcast, and it's February 17th at 5 p.m. It is Galentine's Day together.
Or Guyentine's.
Or
yeah.
G-Day.
Anybody can come is basically what we're saying. Yeah. So if you guys want to join us and hang out and I don't know what a live podcast is, but I'm going to find out. If you guys want to come, then go to buy tickets at onlocationlive.com/90210OMG. Or you can always just go to our Instagram page and click in the bio and get all the info there.
That's right. And it's going to be really exciting. So we're going to do that week our episode recap. Rewatch with you guys, but we're going to do it live, obviously. And sadly, obviously, live right now means over the computer, but we'll be there in spirit. And hopefully one day we can all do it together in person. We're going to be taking virtual pictures with you, though. And we have some special guests. Who's going to be there?
Oh, wait. Should we tell them who our special guest is going to be, or should we wait? Make them wait.
I think we should tell them.
Okay.
Tell them.
Our special guest is Ian Ziering.
Our boy bestie, Ian Ziering.
Yay.
Steve Sanders, you guys.
It's going to be so fun. You know, if he is in the house, things are going to get a little crazy.
I don't feel like anyone's ever seen the three of us, just the three of us, because we we have personal nights, just the three of us, and I don't think we ever laugh as hard as when it's me, Jen, and Ian together. Am I right?
Oh my God. There's like tears.
Full on.
Yeah, a lot of laughing tears.
Like laughing so hard you double over. Like the three of us, oh, makes me miss it. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get a taste of it.
We're going to hang out with them. Yeah. It's going to be so fun. So come to it and come and hang out with us. That'll be fun.
And make sure you get your tickets.
We can't announce
our musical guest yet, but there's going to be a special musical guest that has a special tie into 90210 and a tie into the world. It's going to be really exciting. And make sure you're going to want to get your merch before the live show. And our merch is on sale right now.
That's the other thing. We have merch, people. We have merch.
Oh my God.
It's so exciting.
Jen, have we made it? We have merch? We finally made it.
Rock stars.
Thank
90210 OMG merch. You guys asked for it. We are bringing it to you, and it's super cute.
And we have new stuff that's going to be added to the site, but currently right now we have some really cute sweatshirts and a t-shirt. Make sure you get yours before the show so you can wear it. And by the way, we call it Galentine's just because, well, they're my Galentine's pretty much. But bring whoever to watch it with that you would like to watch with. Invite them. Obviously, it's virtual. So invite them along. Mm-hmm. Buy them a ticket. A portion of the proceeds will go to charity. So we're really excited. I almost said pumped and then remembered that that went out 20 years ago.
you can say it. I'm pumped, man.
Our Instagram handle has all the links for the merch, for the tickets to the event, all that. So 90210 OMG podcast on Instagram.
Yay. Okay. We did all that stuff. Now we got to talk about this week's episode, you guys. Should we just do it?
I've been waiting for this episode.
It's a major episode in the history of 90210. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is a big one.
I think so too.
This is episode 10. It's called Isn't It Romantic? And it aired on January 3rd, 1991. Tell him what it's about.
Well, while Brandon is wary, Jim is definitely opposed to the growing attraction between Brenda and Dylan.
Dun, dun,
now,
dun.
That's the A storyline, but the B storyline is it's sex ed, people.
Sex ed. Everybody's favorite subject at school.
And a really fun Steve Sanders. Such a Steve. Yeah,
with a twist.
We see a sweet side of Steve in this episode. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it when he gets all sentimental and gooey.
Yeah.
So the episode opens up with Brandon and Dylan working on the car. And did they have to be that greased
up? I'm with you, Sisney. I was like, why so much grease? What are they doing?
I didn't mind seeing Dylan McKay covered in grease. I'm not going to lie. But it was, I felt like Brandon had like one grease smear on his shoulder. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah, and then like one jaw on his face.
His arm, his shirt, his front, his back.
Was it? Okay.
His shirt was greased.
It was like he was, drug behind a semi-truck.
Nothing compared to Dylan Morris.
No matter what, a man
in grease is hot, though.
Why? And then Dylan has to shower at the Walsh's.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the first of many shower scenes, I'm sure.
I mean, it's instant flirting between them two. They had been flirting for so many episodes.
Have they really? I felt like this came so fast.
I felt the same way.
Oh,
really? I felt like there was like some one.
I feel I already like, knew it. But this one was just like, here's the story. It was kind of like we've seen with like the Walshes, like when Cindy had her almost affair. Like all of a sudden, it was like we didn't know the backstory, but something major was happening. It felt that way a little bit with Brendan and Dylan. Like all of a sudden, it was like it was on, but we didn't know it had already been started. Really,
bang a gong. It was on.
Like Donkey Kong.
Like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Throwback.
Well, so we flip-flop between the whole Brenda Dylan storyline and the sex ed storyline. So which should we talk about first? Should we just stick with the Brenda Dylan thing and finish that out? Or should we go back and forth? Okay.
I want to go with Brenda
and Dylan. First of all, when they go on their – well, first they have that like threesome date, like her and her brother and, Dylan.
Yeah.
And they go and listen to music.
They have so much fun
back
together,
in his suite.
Hang out and listen to the CDs, those like things.
Yeah, that's what we used to do back in the day.
Not a record, but a CD. Where'd those go, by the way? Do you guys still have CDs?
I do.
You know what? Yeah. I still have them in the garage and I don't know what to – I just need to throw them away at this point.
No, I went from like having them to having them in like a binder, taking all the cases out and just keeping the CD and putting them in like big
and
binders.
And you labeled them, didn't you?
Yeah.
Probably.
But
now it's gone. I got rid of it.
I found a cassette, you guys, of a compilation of all the 90210 songs used.
Whoa.
Like, I have it.
Like, oh, the OG cool. songs?
The OG songs. Like, yeah. It was from, like, 1991. I don't know. I have the cassette. I don't know where I can play it, but I have it. I also have a cassette track of you, me, Shannon, and Christina Lee doing
I know. Yeah. What was that song? We both know it, but we can't sing it.
When you guys wore the black dresses?
Breaking up is hard to do. Yeah.
Hard to do.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, God. We should stop.
Wow. We had to reenact that in BH 90210, and that was a scurry night.
Oh,
that was a lot of feelings came back. I don't know, but I was like, God, I don't want to slick my hair back. That was fine when I was a teenager, but now I don't want to do that. No one wants to see that. But we did it with the help of wine. Yumi and Shannon had wine. That helped.
But go back, Sisney, to what you're saying. I feel like for me, it came like fast, and all of a sudden, Brenda and Dylan were holding hands as they leave. Mm-hmm. They walk into the hotel room where his dad is, and I didn't see that. I didn't see them getting to that yet. I don't know.
Fast, maybe, but maybe everything's maybe just intense with Dylan.
I don't
McKay.
Remember it. So toxic from the get go. That
oh my god!
Date.
But he's such a bad boy. Such the boy that every girl is like, I want him. I don't want him. Like,
yeah, he's like bad, yes, but he's exactly. emotionally available or a little bit too available, but
yeah. Unstable, yeah, but not
I
stable.
Love it. That's my kind of guy.
Yeah, me too.
He breaks the pot and
she has
the
to
hotel.
Run. She's so scared.
Oh, she runs so fast, but he catches her.
Yeah, he does
with like some violent action there. He's like grabs her. Flips her around.
And then they make out.
Because that's what you do.
And that make out, though. Did you notice, like, he really does, like, go in at such a different time. Like, he goes in and he has his hand on her neck and then around her waist. And it's just so, like,
yeah.
Oh.
I felt that was a good chemistry in that kissing scene. Yeah.
I felt it. I felt it a lot.
Is that weird?
No. No. I think every girl.
Are you guys getting antsy for when we get to your kissing scenes?
Probably, yeah. Probably, yeah.
You're sitting here describing this one. He grabs her neck and he goes in. There's so much chemistry.
We'll dissect ours. Don't worry.
Like they definitely use tongue, right?
Well, you guys said that you did.
See any,
right?
No. Tongue-ish. Are you sure? But I just felt like that kiss was intense.
It looked like, yeah.
I feel like the characters would have. And
I also felt like after that scene, after Brenda decides that she's in love, there's just a new pep in her step. And I like in love Brenda. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so happy and like jubilant. You know, there's like a new energy about her. And I thought that was really cool to see that in other areas. Like when she was in her sex ed class with Steve, she was just more playful and not as serious or dramatic for a minute. You know, and I love that.
And then Kelly, but Kelly is just all about like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, I feel like they had what? One date? Two dates?
I know. Okay. That's the thing. Holding hands is one thing. Okay. Yeah. But then all of a sudden they're just under the assumption that they're going to be having sexy time real soon.
Are they under the assumption or Kelly was just like
pushing it? I don't know.
No, in a good way. She was like, be prepared, which was great. But they had one date and a threesome date with her brother. Like, that's it.
Stop calling it a threesome date with her brother.
Yeah, I felt like it – I don't know. I just – as a mom of teens, it makes me a little nervous when they go so fast. Because I'm a little old-fashioned in my thinking, maybe not so much in my actions, but I like that. Yeah, I'm a little old-fashioned, and watching it, I was like, oh, why so soon? But then Brenda, at the end of the episode, she kind of slows things down, which I really respected.
Definitely. The makeout scene the couch in her living room of her parents' house was intense.
I feel like they're going to get way more intense, though, right? Like, this is nothing.
A good one for teenagers. That was a lot.
Why didn't they go out the front door? Had they not gone out the back door,
well,
they
thought, wouldn't have run into Jim. He always comes in the front door. Duh. So run out the back door. I mean, it makes sense in my mind. But
grab your jacket.
One time.
Like they could have, they should have just sat there and picked up a book and pretended to pretended they were reading. I mean, no, she didn't tuck in her shirt. That's what drove me mad, is I quickly would have tucked in the shirt. Mm. It's a dead giveaway. Brenda never wears her shirts out with her jean shorts.
Have you guys ever, you know, like been maybe kissing a boy or something and your parents walked in on you when you were younger or you got busted like that somehow?
I did have a rowdy 18th birthday party. Ooh. That there was some drinking at. And my dad was so against it. And he was almost just like, I want nothing to do with this. Like, he basically left it all up to my mom. And he's like, he was just like pissed about the whole thing in general. And he went into his office at some point in the night. And one of my friends, he caught one of my friends with her boyfriend on his couch in our home, his home office. And it was just like, oh, so bad. He just turns on the light, get downstairs.
I did come home once and it was just in the back of a boy's car and there was just some light petting. Petting. Do people say petting? Oh my God. I just.
What does that mean? Like he pet your hair or your head? Like he pet you like a
touching,
puppy?
There was some touching. I don't know the bases, you guys, but it was nothing below.
Second base.
It was nothing below second the belt. Base. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, thank goodness. No.
But I did, I guess, take my top off and put it back on. And then
off. Wow.
The bra stayed on.
All the way off? On.
I'm not sure. Okay, fine. Now you're embarrassing me. Yes. And I did come home because I had to be home by curfew. I always had the earliest curfew. So like 11 p.m. you had to be home. My friends were like, we can stay out later. And it's like, whatever. So I came home and my mom was like, your t-shirt's on inside out.
Oh, no.
She noticed it. I had like, you know, a little like skirt on. And Doc Martens and my That's t-shirt the- on inside out. And she noticed it. And I was like.
And you were mad at Brenda for not tucking her shirt in.
Yeah, because I had PTSD. So I was like, why didn't Brenda get on it? Yes. And no matter what you say, parents know. They just know. Just like Jim Walsh. Like, do you take me for stupid? Or what do you say? Like, they know.
Yeah, they do. They do. I just assume every time my daughter comes home that she's been making out with her boyfriend.
Yeah,
and that makes it better in your head.
Yeah, because then I'm not like, you know, I'm not pretending.
You just accept it.
Does that make it easier for you or for her or for both?
Probably both, I would imagine. Instead of me, you know, looking at her like she's an alien and grilling her. But I never got caught that I can recall in with a guy that young. No. I know my my husband said that he walked in on his sister once, and they were doing it, and yeah, he saw that. It scarred him, I think.
Oh, how old was he?
You're like 20.
He was like 12. No, probably like 12, 11, 12, something like that.
Yeah, that's something you can't remove from your brain.
Especially when it's your sister.
Yikes.
Yeah, I was really uncomfortable when Brandon was watching them like be all flirty and touchy and
totally. I felt bad for
Brandon. That's Brandon's buddy.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
That must be so awkward.
I gotta say, like up until now, we haven't really seen that connection as brother and sister. And this is the episode where he came in and like was all fired up to Dylan. Then he didn't show up. He didn't call her.
Yeah. He was so protective.
Yeah, I loved it.
And then he went just a little too far. He just took it a little too far and said, she's a virgin. Right there in the science room. I thought that was a little TMI.
Yeah. Well.
Well, speaking of virginity, sex ed was another topic. I think we should take a break. And come back and reveal when you guys had the talk with your parents.
Hi, you guys. Welcome back. Before break, we were just about to get into it. Sex ed. This episode, the B storyline, it's all about sex ed, the consent forms. You guys, wait. First of all, did you have this in school? Second of all, what age did you have the talk? The talk. Or did you? Mm. Does anyone have the proper talk anymore?
I never got the talk from my mom. Mm-mm. Because probably I would shut her down. I'd be like, I'm good. We're fine. I know. You know what's good. I don't need to talk about that.
I don't think, no, I don't, I never got it from my parents. We did have like the sex ed talk at school, but it was way mm-hmm. earlier. It was in sixth grade for us.
Yeah, my kids are having it now.
Really? Oh yeah, like junior high. Mm-hmm.
So it was not in high school. But then I watched a lot of 90210, so that was kind of like my
sex. We taught you everything you need to know. Thank you. You're welcome.
I'm not lying. I was like,
yep.
At its prime, I was probably 12, 13 years old. So
my parents got me a book.
Those are like your college years. And there's a lot of sex.
You got a book?
I got a book.
Did you get the American Girl doll book?
I'm so old. There was not an American. No. Ooh,
there's a book with the American Girl doll.
Oh, no. Sex. That's about your body changing.
No, this was kind of an all-encompassing. It was a picture book. I think I got it when I was like literally like 7, you guys. And it was just like it showed everything about our body. But it was like from the 70s. So it was like. There was a lot of big bush in it, and I was fascinated by the saggy boobs and big bush, and I missed the whole point of it, of this is my body, this is his body, this is what the female body goes through, and then a man and a woman, you know, can do this and make a baby. All you could
focus on was the boobs, yeah.
Saggy boobs and big bush. A big bush. And I, like, took the book to school and showed it around, pulled it out of my locker, and I got in trouble.
You were bringing like pornographic material to school
at 7
in the 5th grade.
Yeah, not even. How old? Oh, 7. You're like 2nd grade?
4th grade? No, 2nd grade. Oh my God.
I didn't know. That it was Tori a Spelling. Picture book.
That Tori Spelling. Like, she's
look at the boobies.
Bad girl.
Look at the boobies.
That's really funny.
Look at those boobies. Oh man,
but that was it.
I have, you know, my kids are older than yours, as we know, and so I don't know what your kids, you know, you haven't talked to them obviously, Sissany, but Tori, you have some preteeners. Yep. I'm the worst at it. I try to talk about it, and they laugh at me, and then we don't end up getting really anywhere. And then I'm like, well, but you guys know that you can always. Talk to me, right? Like you can ask me questions because there's stuff out there that you don't know that I know, and I could tell you all about it. And they're just they won't have it.
She has that they talk with me all the time.
Oh my gosh. And because they always say like you're supposed to talk about it because they might learn. But they can't learn this shit on TikTok.
I know, like, but they think they know everything from TikTok. So if you even bring it up, they're like, oh, we know everything. They don't. Uh-huh. You can't ever know everything.
You just got to.
There's stuff we still don't know, probably. Like,
can they just search? Well, they can just search the internet these days, right? Like, we didn't have that growing up.
Encyclopedias didn't get it right.
I didn't feel like, what was the sex ed's teacher? Mr. Travis.
Kravitz? I thought it was Travis, but it's Mr. Kravitz.
Kravitz? Like Bewitched? Like Mrs. Kravitz?
Like Lenny Kravitz.
That's
like,
better.
Right? Like Lenny Kravitz, yeah.
I felt like Mr. Kravitz really didn't do anything. He didn't teach them anything, and he just was weird, like kept stroking his beard in that weird way.
He was creepy.
The beard
thing. Creepy. He was like,
Do you think when they cast him, they were like, sex ed teachers are out there. They're a little bizarre.
But he was super funny when he was trying to fix his car when Steve Sanders walks up and is like, can I help you? He was really funny in that scene, I thought.
Like, in what world would a teacher send a student out to go pick up the other sex ed teacher that's flying in to LAX?
I know. Just one of his students.
Did I miss something? Why did Steve offer to help? Like, what's the problem? Like,
he was feeling why?
And he was like, you owe me. But what did he owe him? Is he going to fail the class or something? Like, why would Steve in the first season was all about Steve. So what was the reason he was going to do that? Did I miss it? Or no reason?
Did he think it was a lady? A lady?
I think he was just hoping to score. Yeah. So he was just like, I'll go
or
pick
hoping
her
to
up.
Get like extra credit. Or
did he know it was a female? Are we sure?
Mm-hmm.
it came out.
I think he did.
Yeah, I would have thought though, like if it was a female sex ed teacher, that it was someone older.
I just would think, yeah.
Yeah, like a Dr. Ruth.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Ruth.
I love Dr. Ruth. Exactly. I can't imitate her, but.
Have you seen her documentary? It's really good.
Is Dr. Ruth
Yeah, she just came out with a documentary. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll like it.
A documentary about herself, her
about
life?
About her life. They show her. She's like 90-something now, and she's still working. She's like, yeah. She's like the.
She's still sarcastic
version of Joan River. She's just, she is on it, like just hustling.
I wasn't sure. Okay, so the woman in the that is the guest speaker. Mm-hmm. She had AIDS. So this was in 1990, right?
91.
Freshly 91, but yeah.
And so that was much more of a topic I think that is talked about was talked about then. Than it feels like it is now. Maybe. I mean,
yeah, I think so. Because AIDS, when did it like all kind of become really big? In the 80s, probably?
90s, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
So it was a huge.
There was a lot of confusion. You didn't know if you could just get it from hugging somebody or saliva, kissing somebody.
Yeah, there were so many questions. But I had a question because like when she did her speech, she said, always use a condom and foam. Mm-hmm. And I was like, foam? What?
Okay, I didn't catch that either.
Do you guys know what foam is?
Foam.
Okay. I think it's called spermicide or something.
It's like a.
I was just going to say that, but I didn't want to be completely wrong.
I don't think that exists anymore.
So I think maybe, and maybe I'm wrong. This is just my own brain thinking, but what if back in the day they didn't make the condoms with the spermicide?
You're probably right, actually.
Have a condom and then you had to spray something.
Yeah. Foam and vaginal inserts are placed into the vagina.
How do you do that? Someone walk me through.
Unhealthy.
How do you place a foam or vaginal insert into your vagina?
We'll get you a book and you can look at
like
that.
Like imagine
later.
In the moment. I mean, I'm all for everyone using protection, but you put a condom on and then you're like, and wait, I got to. With this vaginal insert foam, like I'm sorry, between both those things, it's like okay, forget it. Which isn't a bad thing for teens. It
totally kills the mood.
Maybe it's like a pre-foam situation, like you foam before you go or out on your day.
I mean, pre-foam. You should do. I don't know. You're going to be the spokesperson for the foam. I'm Jenny Garth, and you should foam before you go. That was a good one.
You never want to foam on a
foam
date.
Foam on the
you
go
foam before the date.
Yeah, foam on the go.
It's a new product.
Oh, it's so
people
funny.
Are going to be like, wait, we didn't see. They talked about it, but we checked their merch and it wasn't there. Where's the foam?
Enough about the foam.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I can go on
can't take it anymore. Then. But I thought that they like were talking about the emotional aspects of what is involved when you do have sex with someone a lot in this episode, mm-hmm. which I thought was really good because I just really loved, you know, who wrote this episode was Karen Rosen. And I felt like it had a woman's touch when it was talking about those,
that's interesting.
You know, those moments when Brenda was saying, how does it feel in your heart though? And that scene between her and her mom about the connection and that the desire to have that kind of connection, not just a physical connection, but a heart connection. And I don't know. I thought that was a really nicely done moment.
You're so right.
Between Brenda.
I feel like we predominantly had male writers. So it is nice that Karen wrote that.
Karen Rosen, who is the wife of Chuck Rosen, our executive producer. She was great. She went on to write a bunch of episodes. So yes. I look forward to rewatching those because I liked her writing.
I gotta say, even though it was like the early 90s, the sex talk stuff and how a girl feels and how everyone feels the first time or thinking about the first time, it holds up. Like, I would show that to my kids and be like, oh, Brenda's a great example.
Yeah, I mean, just show them this episode that you don't have to talk with them.
There you go.
Phew.
No, but it always every episode always goes to some heavy topic, you know, I feel like every week after week. And so this week it just kind of like the whole AIDS thing just came out of nowhere. Like I was not expecting her to say that while Steve was trying to come on to her for so many times. And so it just kind of like goes to show that the topics that I think your show handled.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it laid it on.
I don't think we knew that that was going to, I don't think we knew that that was going to become a thing on the show. None of us. But as it started happening, I feel like we all took a certain pride in that. Maybe we laughed a little bit sometimes at like, oh my God, now what's going to happen to me this week? Yeah. Or what's our, you know, important message going to be this week? But the show had so much other stuff, so many other layers and like so much fun with the fashion and the characters and the all the Beverly Hills of it all. Like, I feel like it was a good balance, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely glamorized teens and where we lived. But at the same time, that's the driving thing is the storylines that everyone could relate to no matter where you lived.
Yeah. And again, this was a cool thing that kids started watching this with their parents because then it kind of opened that door to talk about, you know, what they were scared to talk about. So I thought that was, it's like a good conversation starter, hopefully, for some parents.
Totally.
Yeah, I think so. Plus the fact that the speaker was exposed to AIDS her very first time. And then there's Brenda in the audience kind of being like,
her first OMG. Time, yeah. Thinking, that could be me. That could happen to me. And good. Good that she thought that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because then she has that conversation with Dylan about getting checked at the end of the episode.
And he's just like, yeah. You would do that? It's such a great message because I feel like girls to this day still think like, oh, what's the worst that could happen? You know? They think pregnancy, which is a huge life changer, but they don't realize that there's something that could happen to you that you can die. So that was so like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many diseases and things now. Like, you have to protect yourself. I loved it when jumping ahead to my favorite line of the episode. But when Kelly said, rule number one, never rely on the guy. And I think that's it. That is good. Like, girls should take care of themselves and know always absolutely. Safety first, ladies. Safety first, girls.
What's wrong with boys? I feel like that's true. I want to like teach my boys to always like step up and be prepared. Like, don't be that guy, you know?
I don't think, yeah. I mean, I think just like girls are more, you know, aware and educated and more savvy now. Of course, boys are too.
I hope.
And yeah, I mean, I don't have boys, but I would have to assume that people that are raising young boys out there are doing just as much work to protect them and to teach them.
I mean,
the responsibilities, you know.
Well, which goes to one of the big topics in this episode, double standards. Because sometimes, and it's just part of society, parents treat boys and girls a little bit differently when it comes to sex.
Yes, and that's what Jim did, and Brenda called him out on it, which was so
cool,
great, yeah, and brave. But it's true. He was saying it was okay for Brandon, and like, you know, you pat your son on the back and give him a little wink, but with your daughter, her losing her virginity is a question of her morals.
Yeah, Brandon's girlfriend got to sleep in the house, got to, you know, they knew what was happening. Like, Jim, yeah. Do something about your son. And he's like, like, it was fine, you know? With Brenda, like, they were just like, no. Well, not Cindy, but Jim. Yeah. I mean, daddy's a little girl. It's hard.
But there is. I snuck around in high school for that reason, you know? Never wanted my dad to really know what I was up to. Oh, break his heart.
My little sweet Sissany would never do that.
No. Important message, never. You guys. When your teen is of that age and leaving the house, slip him a condom And if you got, and if you've got some foam.
Oh, no, really?
What do you mean? I feel like it's better. It's so interesting. Like, I would definitely tell my husband to do it, like, with our sons at that age. But, like, if they're going on a date, I don't know. Better they have it.
If they're that age.
And use
and
it.
Are
and
prepared.
Use it. Then,
then.
It's embarrassing. It's, like, it's not comfortable for anyone, the teen or the parent. But, again, you'd rather them use it and have it there than being like, oh, I didn't get it because I was embarrassed to go somewhere and buy it. So now we're in this position and it's okay. Maybe it'll just be fine. You don't want that to happen.
I guess. Well, you guys are closer there than I am.
This podcast just got really deep.
It's just a lot to think about.
My kids You're are so two. Scared now.
Two going on 22. Deal with it now. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my you know, gosh.
Just like...
You just do your best as a parent. You do your best. You give them all the things that you learned and all the things that you wish you'd learned, and you know, arm them with all of that and say a little prayer, you know. You can only do your best, and then you have to just sort of let them live their life to a certain extent. Or you tie them up and lock them in the basement. I don't mean either one.
Or in a warehouse in Van Nuys. Like, no, like you were like what was done to you for 10 years, right?
Yeah. Thank God they locked me up in that stage for 10 years. Well, think of the trouble I could have gotten into.
Imagine. You know what? I do think about that sometimes. Like, we were working so hard from such a young age. Like, what if we had just, I don't know. I don't think either of us were that type of girl, but who knows? You don't know the trouble like teens can get into. You're easily persuaded and talked into things at a young age that aren't good judgment. Like, thank God we had that structure of that show.
When you guys would film scenes that were not there at that place and they were on location, like you're mentioning the theater where Brenda's waiting
right.
for
that
Dylan
was the location.
Is actually on Ventura. Yeah. It's on Ventura Boulevard.
Right, yeah. When she goes Sherman to Oaks. Wait to go supposedly meet up with Dylan for her date and then uh-huh. gets left there for 2 hours waiting for him and he never shows up. I mean, would you wait for 2 hours? I don't know if I'd wait for 2 hours.
I would never admit
maybe
I waited.
For Dylan McKay.
I would wait.
Exactly. Yeah.
But she waited. That movie theater is, yeah, it's on Ventura Boulevard. It's like a historic building, and it's still there, but it's not a movie theater anymore, I don't think. It used to be a Barnes & Noble, but
oh
there's
my
like
gosh,
sushi restaurants
you guys,
and stuff
now.
Oh, it's
now.
The Barnes & Noble.
No, by
the- oh, that it's the Barnes & Noble,
not
the Lorena?
It's the Barnes & Noble one.
Wait. Okay. So it's not the one that used to be a bookstore. It was a movie theater. Then it used to be a bookstore, and then it closed down, and now it's like a med spa. It's not that one?
No, okay. No, it's not that one. It's the one that's still a bookstore.
Okay.
Over by Laurel Canyon, it's still Barnes & Noble, and I know which one
but
you're talking about.
It still looks exactly the same on the outside.
But when you guys would go, so let's say that was where you had to go, would you drive yourself to those locations, or would you like bus in? Or
drive?
I mean, depending. We would sometimes drive to set and park on by the, they call it like the base camp, where they have all the trailers, the you know, makeup trailer and wardrobe trailer and the lighting trailer, all the things. They call that area like the base camp. And so you'd park there. But sometimes if we were like shooting on set, then they would just stick us in a van and drive us to where we had to be.
They stuck her in a van, tied her up in a warehouse and stuck her in a van.
Right in there.
What a fun gig for you guys to be that age and
we had exposed to a lot like in a fun way, like always going to new places.
Yeah
it is it, but it there was so much all the time. Do you ever feel like tour, like we were as a in this industry, like you go from set to set to movie to show to job to job to job, and they're always different. It's always a different group of people and it's always a different character. So I feel like so much of my life has been spent on the move or like jumping from thing to thing that I never really settled into anything in particular. Like there was never a normal, like a baseline for me after a while, because it just becomes this like whirlwind and you're always on the move and always making new friends and meeting new friends and then leaving those friends and never really seeing those friends again, or for the most part, or, you know, it's such a weird industry.
It's like, yeah, it's like being in the military, like always on the move. Military mm-hmm. family.
Similar.
I mean, completely different, and I'm not making fun of that. Like, I'm just saying,
just the lifestyle
is, you never completely let your heart settle in because you know that you're going to be on. But I mean, probably 90210, out of all the things you've done, probably 90210 was the most. I mean, that was pretty consecutive. And I think, like, during that time, what she's referring to is, like, on summer breaks or winter breaks, we would do like TV movies or movies and do other things that, you know, you dive in fast, you guys. Like mm-hmm. you give your heart and soul and just commit to everyone there. And all of a sudden, it's like joining a new school. You go to a new school and you just like, but everything is really fast. So it like speeds it up, the process of like settling in and getting to know people and getting accepted. But this is probably the one that was like the longest.
So there was no breaks for you. When you took a break from 90210, you yes. jumped right into another project.
We were all busy working every hiatus, every break.
But I mean, that was a conscious choice.
And we wouldn't see each other that much because we were given these opportunities to go do movies of the week and star in yeah. them and produce them. And, you know, it was such so many amazing opportunities.
Did you ever think, though?
In a short period of time.
Like, we were young. Did you ever think, like, hey, it's summer. I want to go take a vacation, or I want to. There's some people that did do that. You and I never did that. Like, we were just like, great, work, let's go, continue, work, work, work.
Yeah, I would always, I mean, because I had my first kid like soon into the show. Maybe
not that soon.
No, I don't even know how many years it was before I had a first baby. But once I had a baby, I would always try to plan like a little family mm-hmm. time. And then before, you know, mm-hmm. before going on to another show, and then you come back and you're right back into 90210. I kind of like that. I like that I was always busy and, you know.
Me too.
Didn't have time to.
But I never thought twice about it. Like, we should have been like, you see people now on hit shows, and when they have breaks, they're taking these amazing vacations around the world because they're making great money and they're big celebrities. And like, looking back, I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't ever our mindset, which is great. We're both very driven. We still are. I think that's another thing that binds us to each other. We've, you know, that we have that work ethic. But it would have been nice to be like, hey, I'm just taking, like, I'm going to Europe for 20 days in the middle of our summer break and just like Emily in Paris.
Live a yeah. little. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that with you guys because around the holidays, we didn't really talk about it, but I'm like, I wonder if we're going to stop down and we're just not going to do any shows. Like, nope, we almost recorded a podcast on Christmas Eve. I was like, wow.
We always make time for work somehow. Yep.
Hustle. You really do.
And that's
got to pay those bills.
Yeah, that's interesting to know that from a young age, though. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Work ethic. Yeah.
The boys took breaks. They took vacations. I feel like Shannon took vacations. Like, I feel like you and I were the two that really always did movies of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because once you did one, then it was like they wanted you to do another one, and you would just get offered things and sent scripts and stuff.
I don't think I've seen these movies of the week with you guys.
There was a time when movies of the week were like, everybody was doing it.
Are they available?
Oh, yeah, they're on Lifetime. Streaming? All of ours are on Lifetime now. Lifetime accumulated. They still play, yeah, like, all of really? Them are always playing. But, like, during the 90s, they were on prime time. Like, they would those. Be for, like, NBC or CBS or ABC mm-hmm. It was or Fox. You know, it would – they would go up against, like, Monday Night Football. It'd be, like, the female alternative. Like, and we would take viewers away from football. Like, it was a big deal, movies of the week. And that's why they were titled cool. Movies of the Week. Like, there would be one night that – networks would air their movies of the week, like Monday night. Now they're just like TV movies. But also there was that thing that, you know, you were going, you were like, you had the power that they always wanted you. You would get these straight offers. You didn't want to not do it because you didn't want to not be relevant. Like, what would happen if we like went one summer and didn't do a TV movie? Like, it was a little bit of that, right?
We've probably felt like that would be it. We'll never work again. Work in this town yeah. again.
Imagine thinking that at like 18 years old.
Especially at that
like,
age.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a lot, definitely. But I feel like there was so much that we learned from doing that too. I mean, we learned to be bosses because we had to. We had to learn to suck it up and do what was expected of us and, you know, call the shots. And I think that because we started, I mean, I started, I know you probably did too, Tori, started producing the movies that I was doing. And you learn what it's like to have more control over your work.
It's nice, right?
Doing that,
you have a voice. And people listen to you. Just a pawn. Yeah. It was really nice. It was really productive. But gosh, I don't... Those hours that we worked, I mean, we worked crazy hours. And then to think like on Christmas break, you would film like all night and then like fly to Canada the next morning and go right into production on a TV movie and then come back and go right back to 90210 after maybe having like a day off for Christmas and a day off for New Year. Like it was just, what, I don't know.
But those are the years you should be hustling in any industry, like whatever profession you do, whether it's like in your guys' case, TV. But like for me, it was radio. I got in at 19 and I never took any breaks either. I didn't go on any vacations. I worked holidays for 5 years. You know, it's like you kind of just pay your dues. And so it's interesting that you guys still paid your dues, even though you're on this hit show.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I think everybody has their own experience of that. Yeah, for sure. No matter what it is that you're chosen career path is, you got to work hard when you're young, and then you learn to like slow down and prioritize and you get a family and you get other responsibilities, other interests, and you learn to like make other things important in your life too, which kind of creates a nice balance, because I don't really feel like that's a very balanced way to live for very long, you know.
It's hard.
Works for some.
Yeah, I mean, during that time, I had other friends that weren't in the business and they were going to college and, you know, coming home and having like fun and going out. And that wasn't our life. You know, we had fun, but it was just a very different life than other kids our age.
Did it feel like you went to college, though?
Because totally.
You played it on TV?
What do you mean? I graduated from California University. I've told you this. It's real to me. I have the diploma. I have Donna Martin's diploma, by the way. I found it in storage. Cool.
That works for me.
It says Donna Martin graduated California University. It said something like a degree in science arts. Like that would never be her. I don't know why it says that on there. Like they were making a joke. Props was like, we're going to make it funny. Donna Martin. Make she's not that scientist. Smart.
I can't believe you have that. I love that.
Well, we have to take a break. I do want to come back. We have some questions from listeners, and we haven't touched on fashion or any of our favorite lines from the show, and there's a few of them. So we'll be right back.
Okay, so should we talk about fashion, you guys?
Like
we should talk about fashion. What did you think was like the standout fashion of this episode? I felt like it was a pretty even keeled episode as far as the fashion. There wasn't anything too like jarring.
Dylan's trench coat, jarring? See, that was my favorite. That was very like say anything, John Cusack, like from the 80s, like right?
Yeah, it was.
I loved it.
He looked so great in it. And the way it flowed, and the way he used it, stormed out of the room.
Like with Brenda around her, like, oh, that.
Like, I want boys to bring back trench coats now. Why not? What was your favorite?
Steve was colorful.
I know your favorite.
Steve was always, again, with the tucked in blouses on Steve Sanders.
You can't say blouses.
And the little pants that were so snug on his little tushy.
I didn't know where you're going with that.
I didn't notice that.
Why were you looking at his tushy?
Well, because when he was in the hotel room with the speaker friend girl and he just turned around and walked out so confidently in it. I really felt like we were supposed to look at his butt.
The Steve Sanders strut, which is also the Ian Ziering strut.
Yeah.
The Brenda makeover was fun with you guys.
The little fashion montage. The way they sped it up was super cute.
That was really cute.
I like that. We probably had much fun filming that, right?
I'm sure. Like that feels like such a YouTube, like TikTok moment now. And we did it then, like the speed up, like
getting the girl dressed. Can we talk about Brenda's fashion? Because I feel like you have an ode to it today.
Oh, right. I'm wearing, she inspired me on my shirt choice. That you guys know what an air tie is, right? Do you know that term? Air tie. No, this is an air tie when you button fancy your shirt all the way up to the top and you don't wear a tie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it's like a, I don't know. They call it an air tie. All the hipsters are wearing it these days. But Brenda.
Yeah. And you got bright red lipstick on today.
Brenda was rocking the air tie back in the 90s. That must be where it came from. The 90s.
Probably. Everything came from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. her jean shorts. Like the infamous jean shorts. She looked great. Like when Dylan eyed her up and down, those legs, those jean shorts, those scrunchy socks. Like I feel like the whole episode the
scrunchy socks
was all about that. She looked great.
She was wearing your socks. Didn't you let her borrow those?
You're so mean. So we were working last week and I wore scrunchy socks because they're back in. Everything from the 90s. I got them with my girls at Journey. And I wore them last week and she just like, I knew she was going to hate my outfit. I just knew it. And I was like, and a one, and a two, and a three. And she's like, you wore those scrunchy socks just to piss me off.
Did you say you got them at Journey?
Yeah. Like
the store Journey from the 90s. Yeah. Still around? Wow.
You can go shopping right now? I didn't even know that.
You can.
Wow.
Yeah, you can.
But
I should get out.
You won't like it.
Trust me, I'm like you. I haven't left the house.
But somewhere deep down, I knew that morning when I got dressed, I did. I somewhat put those scrunchy socks on because I knew it would send my best friend over the edge. And I love that she would notice. And I knew that she would notice. And that's how tight we are, you guys.
Any favorite lines?
I already said mine about Kelly. Kelly saying, rule number one, never rely on the guy. I like that one. What about you?
One was good that Brenda said to her dad. We kind of talked about it, but the actual line was, and if I'm ready first, then what? Should I lie and sneak around? When he was talking to her about
great point.
The double standard.
Like, really great thing to say. Good job, Karen Rosen. I felt it was a good line.
I'm not going to quote this verbatim and I didn't write it down, but when she's looking at Dylan and talking, Brenda's looking at Dylan from the balcony and talking to Kelly and she's like, and Kelly's like, you need to go have a bubble bath. She's like, I need more than that. And you go, ew. Did I get that right?
Wait, there was another one in the hallway when Brenda and Kelly were walking down the hall and something about being pinned. I said, you're dating now. And she was like, it was just one date. I said, well, you're going on another one. So you're officially dating. And then she goes, what's next? Is he going to pin me? And Kelly goes, hopefully to a mattress.
Kelly had some zingers.
She's a sassafrasser.
So we have some questions, but however, we just have time for one. Do you guys see them or do you have a one? Do you have one that you would rather answer?
Because I feel like let's talk about Courtney's question.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Okay. No, I mean, you know what? I was going to let you decide. Why not? So there we go. So Courtney is asking, could you talk more about friendships with Shannon? Wasn't Tori friends with her in the beginning and then they went out to clubs together? Were Jenny and Shannon ever friendly? Or were they too different? Did the three of you ever hang out?
Yes, we totally hung out. We were friends. There were really great moments when it was the three of us. I have great memories of us all hanging out and laughing and like doing that scene in this episode. Whenever we worked together, we had a great time.
But we did. Mm-hmm. There were like plenty of times when the three of us went out. Went out to clubs together.
We went clubbing.
I definitely had very different friendships with each of them. I had my friendship with Shannon and my friendship with Jen. And then they would merge all of us because we were together all the time. That's what happens. But I did go to like the Roxbury and Bar One a lot with Shannon. She was like older than me. When I say older, I mean only 2 years older, but she was cool and like she'd be like, oh, my friends and I are going to like the Roxbury, and I wanted to fit in so bad because I was like just a little bit too young to be doing stuff like that. And I'd be like, oh good, she's taking me to the Roxbury. You know, it's just like, oh cool. But I feel like Jen and I had the relationship, we like did things like at the same level. Does that make sense? Like bonded at the same time about things at the same time. Like, well, Shannon was kind of like an aspiration to me because I was like, she was the older cool kid, even though she was only 2 years older.
Yeah. And Shannon and I, we had great times together. And we also had times that weren't as great because we were just two Aries women. We're two very...
Yeah, I did not know that.
Both Aries, we're both very strong minded, and I think that got sometimes it would just make us like two rams, you know, we would lock horns sometimes, and
would that be with like things that were happening on the show or in your personal lives?
Not really. I think it was always like show related, whether it was on camera, off camera, behind the scenes, whatever.
That became personal.
It was never about personal life because I don't think Shannon and I ever hung out on a personal level too often, just the two of us that I recall.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we would work it out. We would somehow work it out, and we continued that, you know, working relationship. I felt like it went as good as it could go under those circumstances.
And it's just like high school, you guys, this happens, and they're both very strong. They're like alpha women, you know, they speak their mind. And I'm like the Taurus that's just like, everyone get along. And so I just remember there would be times when they would kind of bump heads about things. And yeah, it was always show related, but it felt personal when it would go beyond that. And I would just be in the middle like, oh my God, it's my two best friends. Like, just get along. I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. I'm stuck in the middle.
Would you guys, like between the four of you girls, even Gabrielle, would you guys ever fight about clothes, or was it always specific like, Kelly's outfits are these, or Donna's outfits are these, or like, would you fight? Be like, I was supposed to wear that top in this scene, or would that ever happen?
Yes, of course.
Really?
There were wardrobe battles, makeup, hair battles. Mm-hmm. Why is she wearing her hair like that? I was going to wear my. I mean, I don't remember anything specifically.
Oh,
but
I love it. I love it.
I mean, you do remember the red dress incident.
I do, but I think I don't really remember.
Because everyone has their perception of how something happens, and then it's heightened once it starts to become a story, and you're like, wait, how did it actually begin? How did it actually happen? And we call it the red dress incident because the boys made it like bigger like than it was. But pretty much it was a photo shoot.
Stoke the fire.
Always. Mm-hmm. It was a photo shoot, and we've discussed this. Those were the days we were all on set together, all working hard whole day, and taking photos, which is a lot of pressure, especially for girls. Like, you want to look good. How do I look? Right. And they didn't want everyone in the same color, and we don't exactly all see it the same way, but it was pretty much, you know, it was one of those days when it was like, no, everyone kind of stood up for themselves. And going back, the wardrobe people shouldn't have given everyone choices if they didn't want everyone to wear the same color. We each had our section, and we each had a red dress in it, and we each picked the red dress. And then,
so we all come out with it. But was it just you and I, or was it the three of us?
I think originally it was Shannon.
I think it was just Shannon.
Was involved somehow, and then she chose the black dress, and then you and I were both. You were riled up because you were like, I thought they had asked you to change because she had wanted to wear a red dress. And you were like, no, that's not fair. Like, I feel good in this dress. I have it on. It was in my section. I'm going to wear it. And then she changed, but simultaneously, because you had it on, they had asked me to not wear the red dress. And I was like, I always get along with everyone. I always say yes to everything. Today, I'm wearing the red dress. And it ended up being a battle between Jen and I, which we never fought. Which was so strange.
So if you look at that picture of that photo shoot, which was like our cast photo for the year, it's her, Tori and I both in red dresses, and Shannon in a black dress, and Tori and I are like looking, like we're peeved at each other. You can just tell there's tension.
Oh my God, I can see it right now. You literally Googled 90210 red dress fight. They
separated us in the photo on other ends because they were like, okay, let's make this work. They're both in red dresses and they're upset. But the boys, by the time we came to set, we were both already fired up and it kind of didn't even start with us, but ended with us. By the time we got to set, we were like upset. And then the boys were like,
that's it. That's
there the picture. It is. And the boys are like, I want to wear the red dress. No, I'm wearing the red dress. And they were saying that in this photo while we're taking photos. They'd be like, and cheese photo. And they'd be like, I want to wear the red dress. And we were both just like,
oh, so they're just like, oh my God. Adding and by the way, fire.
For the rest of the season, that was seasons until the end of the show, that was the fight. Like the boys always.
So much that we brought it back for the for BH 90210. Yeah, we kind of used that as a for a scene.
Where are we at?
But that wasn't in the show.
Well, it was a photo behind the shoot. Yeah, but we brought it into BH 90210 that we all three show up in a red dress. Because to this day, even when we were starting BH 90210, as soon as we'd get in like rooms and like all having dinner or like drinks, the boys would still be like, I'm wearing the red dress. And it's like, whoa, 30 years later, you guys are still saying that. And it still got us pissed off. It's riling me up right now.
All flustered right now. Dress.
I think because of that, I couldn't wear a red dress out publicly anymore. Like, I was just so scarred by
PTSD.
Red dress.
Well, you look really beautiful in red, so you should wear red.
You do too. And
but just don't wear it when I'm wearing it.
What do you mean? Ugh, just stand on the other side of me, like somewhere else in the picture. I feel like for our Galentine's Day virtual life, we should both wear red. And then talk. Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
I think we should end with that, ladies.
There's no question you can't ask us, you guys. We will talk about all your questions. Like, I picked that question because I felt like people wanted to know that. And like, maybe we don't want to talk about it or like, you know, but let's talk about it. Why not? So send us questions.
I think as a fan, you heard all these rumors and you just didn't know what was true. Especially because there was no TMZ.
I love that you can
then.
Google the red dress. Fight and it comes up. That's crazy.
I literally 90210 red and a dress, and then as I was writing dress, it suggested fight.
Historical wardrobe malfunction.
Okay, episode 11 is the homework assignment.
Yep. You have a whole week to watch episode 11, and then we will convene and we will talk about it. We'll break it down.
Break it down.
And don't forget about the new merch and the virtual event. And you can get all that info at the Instagram account, which is 90210OMG podcast. Yeah,
OMG podcast.
And is there a place they can send pictures of themselves in our merch?
Oh, that'd be cute.
We can post
they can
pictures.
DM the.
Or just tag us, like put it on your Instagram and then tag 90210OMG podcast on there. And then that way we can repost.
Oh my God. We want to see all of you in our merch.
I want
to
see you.
Maybe at our virtual thing, we could like flash pictures of people in it. That'd be fun.
Aww,
I like that. Tickets are on sale now. Come join us at our virtual event, February 17th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Bye, everybody.